Now, Tonchi Weaver is encouraging voters to defeat the upcoming bond issue in Rapid City, and she's joining us for perspective from the Vote No campaign. She's on the phone with us now from Pierre. Tonchi Weaver, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Well, that's no problem. Thank you for having me, and I hope you can hear me well. It's a noisy place here. I've found a little corner that's not so noisy.
We appreciate you finding that corner. Can you give us an idea of, from a broad perspective, why you think this school bond referendum should be defeated in a nutshell? And then we'll dig in deeper. Yeah.
Well, in a nutshell, I think it would have to go to the bond language. When the voters are in the voting booth, they're going to see what they're voting on and realize that there are things in this bond that one could argue are wants rather than needs, and that there are very nondescript things that you will be voting in. Pathways-related updates is part of the language. Pathways is a curriculum that, frankly, most parents don't really even understand what Pathways is about. That and the additions and renovations to existing school facilities, the deferred maintenance, which really implies that maintenance has not been done on a schedule that it should have been done with money from the capital outlay, which that's what that fund is for. So those are, again, nondescript. And then there's the category of other school district improvements. We don't know what that entails. That could pretty much describe anything, including upgrading toilet paper in the restrooms. It's pretty open-ended. We've called it a blank check because that's kind of what it is. If voters sign on the dotted line, there's not much that wouldn't qualify for this spending. We believe that if you're going to spend this kind of money over this long a term, 25 years is a generational debt, then you should at least know the limitations of that spending.
So when I look at the facilities final plan and the new elementary schools and the district-wide renovations and upgrades that you referred to, they're broken down with safety and security upgrades, which we talked about recently. None of these schools have been upgraded to deal with intruders, for example, a pretty modern update.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is that really what they're talking about? In safety and security improvements, that could mean taking advantage of programs that are available to the schools with the Sentinel program, and there's a bill here in Pierre right now to create an appropriation for those Sentinel programs, because a few years back, that was a safety and security measure that our lawmakers created to make our schools more safe, but we don't have any idea if that's one of those improvements or what exactly they're talking about, if it's new entrances, if it's, you know, magnetic entry badges. We don't really know. It's pretty
So one funny. Of the arguments here, Tonchi, is that this was a pretty open process. The school board meetings are always open. There was a community plan. And these things that you're talking about have been being laid out systematically for 2 years. There's a website with lots of details. The school board would have to report all their spending, of course. So the argument is some people are coming on right before the election and saying, we don't know enough information. Have you been part of this process for the last several years? What would your answer be to that?
If you check the minutes of the school board, you will see that I and a few others on our committee have been constant attendees at school board meetings and even special meetings and study sessions. So, yes, we do try and stay informed on things. And I would ask you, which website are you referring to? The rcasfuture.org, is that the one?
That's the one I was just referring to, yes.
Okay, that one is a very recent creation. It is a creation copyrighted by the school district to act as a ballot question.
Communication,
de facto
sure.
Ballot question type information dispensing location.
Right. This is where, and for listeners who haven't been to that website yet, this is where all the information from the Rapid City Area School District is condensed with fact sheets and the details about the financial plan.
Right.
Answering those frequently.
All the way.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. If you scroll all the way to the bottom, you can see that's copyrighted by the school district. So that is an organ of the school district, and it is recently created. I believe our website has been in existence since early April when we first started putting information up, analyzing what the district was giving out as information on this bond, and actually then comparing it to information that's available from the state of South Dakota. All the and I'm going to give you our website as well. I'm sure they gave you theirs. It's rcasforward.org. And it is an exhaustive review of a good deal of information. Our numbers are all public information, and many of them come directly from the State Board of Education, the Department of Education, I'm sorry. Yeah. And the reason for that is we wanted the most recent and accurate numbers, and I stand by the numbers that are on our page.
There have been public accusations of a misinformation campaign to try to sabotage this. Have you seen any of that? Anything that you have seen of people just intentionally trying to spread falsehoods? And I, you know, asked him a couple questions where they just said, you know, that is the people who are encouraging folks to vote yes is who I mean by they, where they said that's just simply not true. We care about this program and this program will continue. We just can't tell you, you know, exactly where the details are going to be for that. Have you seen disinformation?
Well, I guess that depends. That's in the eye of the beholder, I guess. I am not aware of any misinformation. If you're talking about the future of Rapid City High School, that has been a very, very nondescript future. They seem to be kind of an afterthought in this plan. I have said before that the best information we have about Rapid City High School and the future of that program is that there's now a plan to have a plan, but it's in the planning stage. So that's as much as we know. I'm not saying that they don't care about it, but what I'm saying is that their plan really doesn't tell anyone what their plan for this facility is.
What happens if the bond measure fails, in your opinion? Do you think there are problems that need to be addressed? Because
absolutely. Yeah.
What would be a better way, in your estimation, of doing that, of addressing that?
Well, you know, I kind of find it an exercise in futility to talk about future things that aren't on the ballot, because this is what is on the ballot, and this is what is up for approval or disapproval. However, many of us on our committee have talked at length about what we would support, and we have talked about it in our presentations that the public has come to and asked questions. Yes, there are some very serious needs, but we don't see any reason to evict the Rapid City High School students. That program is very valuable. We are against turning that building into an elementary school. It is not equipped for an elementary school, and it hasn't been that many years ago that the whole building, there was a major renovation of Rapid City High School. It's a historic building. It's now also a performing arts center. It's made for children of middle to high school size, and we think it would be an unnecessary expense and unwise to locate an elementary school there. Mm-hmm. One thing I would like to address is the Vote Yes folks have put out a mailer that says that we haven't passed a bond since 1973, and that sounds terrible, but it's not true that we haven't bonded in order to build schools. We have issued bond certificates over the years, and there have been, I believe, 8 or 9 schools built and major additions to those schools, and that doesn't include the renovation in 2013 of Rapid City High School. So I think it's an unfair way to address this issue by casting aspersions on the general populace that paid for all these things. When we look at our tax bill, we see that the bulk of our property taxes goes to the school district. The school district has a larger budget than the city does.
So, Tanchi, I want to jump in here because we're almost out of time, and I apologize for interrupting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But one of the things, and you've been a vocal advocate to defeat measures that would increase taxes. This is an important part of who you are, as far as I can tell, is this idea of, you know, when should we be taxed as South Dakotans?
Unnecessary tax.
Okay, and I think it can be easy for people to see. If something is defeated, you can watch a bridge crumble, or you can watch a school district, you know, the cracks can get bigger. It's easy to see what happens when you don't support the bond and things kind of continue to deteriorate and degrade. Can you tell people what the consequences are of passing it? Because it seems like the evidence and the consequences of not passing it seem very evident to me.
Well, first of all, if this bond was very limited and focused, if it only addressed things like Robbinsdale and South and took care of that problem as a priority, in kind of a worst needs first service arrangement, we wouldn't oppose it. Those are needs. They need to be addressed. However, the consequences of passing it, mainly you are going to lose some neighborhood schools. Neighborhood schools have a value, and a lot of them are in affordable neighborhoods. The property values, when a school leaves, will deteriorate. More kids will be spending time on school buses. We don't know the locations of the new schools. If new information has come to light, well, that's news to us, because if it were important to the vote yes people, I think full disclosure was necessary from the outset. This bond passed the school board on the 28th of October. The plan hasn't changed since then, and this is what we're speaking to. If you want a better plan, one that the community can afford, one that maybe preserves these schools, that will serve neighborhoods with maybe a K through 8 school that would combine Robbinsdale and South. Maybe you could look at that same sort of scenario where West and Canyon Lake are concerned. But these ideas are not on the table. Mm-hmm. What's on the table is a 25-year, $190 million bond spent on things that we don't know. And it's up to the community to say, you have to do better.
Tanchi Weaver, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and I appreciate your interest.